Let's give a warm welcome to most respected Jayanti Ben with a one hand clap. And tonight's topic is perfection, invoking and stepping into it. Jayanti Ben has been with Baba from childhood and taken sustenance from Brahma Baba as well. And she is our RC for Baba centers in Europe and Middle East. And the special title that Baba usually gives her is the flying angel. Because she is the perfect balance of sweetness and firmness. And we take, and she's an inspiration to hundreds and thousands of BKs. We will listen to the most respected Jayanti Ben tonight. And the topic I would like to repeat, our perfection, invoking it and stepping into it.
Om Shanti. It's nice to be back in Madhuban. I know that some of you have come a week ago, some a few days ago, but I'm sure you're feeling how on one side Madhuban is unchangeable. The love, the power, the purity is there continually. And yet on the other side, there's always new faces around, and so something constantly new that's happening also. I'll share with you what my own practice is, and I think perfection is something different, but I think this is a very important step towards perfection, and that is being able to emerge and express my own original qualities. And it's something that you heard about in the first lesson, and it's something that you tell people about, even strangers in public talks. And what we usually say is that there is goodness in every single human being, right? You always say this. And then you mention the five specific qualities of the soul, and we talk about peace and love and truth, purity and joy, happiness, joy, whichever. So we talk about these five qualities being the original qualities of the self. And of course, when we look at lives at the end of Kali Yuga, we see that they're very far away from any of these. Maybe we still have love for truth. Maybe we still have love for peace. And we have love for love. But we don't actually experience these things in our life usually. But in fact, to come back to that original state of the soul and to emerge that within myself to its absolute highest state, and I think then I'd be pretty close to perfection. Do you agree? When we describe perfection, we talk about all the celestial degrees, 16, whether you call it 16 or 360 degrees, same thing, but the full scale, the full scope of all the celestial degrees, all the talents that we need in life. And then we talk about being completely viceless. And then the next thing is full of all virtues. Working backwards, full of all virtues. Well, if I had these five original qualities really, truly developed within myself, then I can connect with any of the virtues and it'll be very easy. And equally, when I'm thinking about becoming completely viceless, if I've developed these qualities, I've actually done away with all the weaknesses of the negativity of the vices. Because It's when I don't have these qualities that then the vices sneak in, and I don't realize that that's what's going on at that time until it's a little bit late. But otherwise, generally, if I think about these five qualities of the original state of the soul, then it takes in the other two aspects definitely. And then the 16 celestial degrees, in a way, it's a definition of the total state, the state of perfection. And I know that sometimes we try and define 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and we talk about all the different aspects. But that's a different way of looking at it. But they all relate to interaction with people. And again, I think that if I focused on those original qualities of the self, it'll be fairly easy to use those in my interaction with others or the service that I need to be doing. And so let me focus on this original state of being of the self. And it's fascinating for me that that is also where we talk about number wise. Because starting right with the Supreme, the one who has all these attributes in their absolute form, to the nth degree, the unlimited, the ocean, and then gradually, then it becomes number wise. And so the last soul that comes on the planet from Paramdham, and that soul won't announce, hey, look, I'm the last soul, but we'll see the conditions of the world and what's going on at that time. And so the last soul also will have some trace of these original attributes. And so I think that if I allow myself to just go deep within and see what's happening with these original qualities and emerge them each morning, what I'm doing in Amrit Vela is taking Baba's love and light to allow these qualities to fully express themselves within. And it might be one sometimes, it might be the other sometimes, but to whatever extent I can emerge these, because they are there within the soul, that God's influence and God's light and love allows them to emerge. Somebody told me a few days ago, when I'm with this person is so good that I feel the best that's within me emerging and being expressed. And this other person, and she had both people as part of her team, and she said, but this person, they get the worst out of me somehow. And so different people, human beings, do that to you. But with God, the one who's always, always able to give that influence of God's truth, God's love, God's beauty, and it allows the best within the soul to emerge. And so that's the time for Amrit Vela. And yes, also of course, just not thinking about any of these things, but just being with Baba, so that I can feel the power of yoga, the fire of yoga, finishing all the things of the past. So both of these things should be happening. But through the day, what is it that happens then? The peace that I felt, the love that I felt from Baba in the morning, have I filled myself sufficiently with each of these attributes so that then as I come into action and interaction in the work that I need to be doing, I'm able to express them? And if not, then why not? Lucky people who are on the path of self-development talk a lot about the inner work. And Baba doesn't use that expression, but Baba does use the expression check and change. And I was interested in Sunday's Murli, every Avyat Murli. These early ones are so profound and so encompassing, they take a subject and really explore it in a very, very powerful way. And Baba talked about two double locks. He's often talked about the double lock of service and the self, and again it came up in the blessing this morning. But in that morning Baba spoke about two double locks. And the first one that he actually spoke of was checking and changing. And so this is the double lock that I need to have if I'm to move forward to my final state. And this is the time, the only time that it's possible to do this is now in Sangam Yuga. And I say that now, there's a person who I work with closely, and she says to me when I say we have to do this now, she asks me, is it now? Or is it 10 minutes later? Can it wait for 10 minutes? she has this expression that she uses. So I think when Baba used the term closure on the 31st of December, he's talking about now. Not next year, not the year after. And I'm not saying that Krishna will be born by the 1st of January 2019. That's not closure. I doubt if that's going to happen within the space of time of 10 months, 11 months. But I do feel that the conditions of the world will be more and more chaotic, and we won't have the time to actually spend time looking at ourselves and changing in the way that we need to. Now we can check, now we can change. And so this is really that final chapter at this moment when I can still do this with space, with proper attention. If I'm so busy just thinking about physical survival and who knows what scenes are going to come in front of us later, it's quite unpredictable. Some time ago, when did the first trucks start coming onto pavements and hitting pedestrians? Maybe it was 2-3 years ago when it happened in Nice in France for the first time that I recall. Maybe it happened before that. But after that, whether it's trucks or whether it's cars, whatever vehicle, you know, you use four wheels to get from A to B. And now suddenly it's become a mode of destruction. It's become a method of destruction. And so things happen in a very strange way at the end of Kali Yuga, in which before they happen, you don't think that human beings can actually behave like that. But that's the drama. And Baba has cautioned us. There will be things happening. So am I doing that inner work that I need to do to check myself? And of course, there will always be lots of different reasons that we have in which we say that because of this thing, that was my reaction. Well, these things are going to multiply. And the people that I'm with, maybe at the moment I say it's the people at Lokik work because they don't have gyan and so they behave in ways that are not quite right. But what about the people I share with in Baba's house? Maybe there's a few souls, maybe there's many souls who are behaving in a way which is like what Baba says, Maya coming and showing itself in a very powerful way as the final step to be able to try and conquer the soul. Just as it's the last step for us to be able to transform, it's also the last step in which Maya can actually assert herself and push us into doing something which is out of line. And so whichever way it is, but we do find people in the Brahmin family behaving in ways that we wouldn't normally expect. And so the last explosions are coming out. And so if I'm still in that situation where I say, because of this, because of that, because because of this one or that one, I haven't started the process of checking and changing. I'm still occupied in that scenario of looking out there and putting the blame outside for what I am feeling or the way I am behaving. And so it's still that very first step in Brahman life in which whatever is coming from outside is what I'm reacting to. And however long I've been with Baba, that still carries on to some extent or another. And so now Baba's telling me it's time for closure. That game of blaming has to stop. And so what should I be doing now? Now what I can do is, maybe it's not even external reactions anymore. Maybe now it's truly that has stopped. Because I've seen how every time I react on an external level, that sanskar just continues. And we know this. This is how the mechanism of the soul works. But if something is happening out there, have I learned by now at least to say, okay, let me take a pause and go inside and connect with Baba before I say something, before I react in the way that I always used to before. And so really that pause is not just the checking at the end of the day. We forget a lot of what goes on. When did the day begin and how did it carry on? So many things happen. But the pause actually is before I speak, before I do anything. And so I've learned by now that reactions won't stop just like that. No matter how guilty I feel, no matter how bad I feel, but if I allow the reactions to carry on, they will. And they'll just get a tighter and tighter hold on me. And so, what am I going to do now? I know myself well enough, hopefully. And if I don't, let me spend time getting to know myself. Madhuban is the perfect place to do that. So let me see who are the people who press my buttons. Sometimes it's a question of who, and maybe it's everyone at the moment. Maybe I'm so fragile and sensitive that everyone has something that they press in me. But maybe it's not so much the who, maybe it's the what. What is it that comes up for me that pushes my buttons? Is it that I feel that they're not respecting me? Is it that I feel that they're not giving regard to my ideas? What is it? Let me be able to identify that. Maybe it's that they have a tendency to criticize and I can't take it anymore. I don't want to listen to criticism. So let me see what it is that's actually happening. And so the checking involves all of this. And this really is the inner work that I need to be doing for myself right now. And when I'm doing this inner work, what will happen is that I'll begin to see patterns. And I'll begin to identify the what that's actually pushing the buttons. And so hopefully, within a very short time, I'll be able to identify that. And then the other side of the work begins, the changing. Identifying it is important, but then what am I going to do about it? Maybe it's a question of building up my own stage of self-esteem. And so a lot of it has to do with that actually. Whether it's been childhood in which parents have told us, you're not doing it properly, you're not doing it well, or I'm doing something and then they come along and they redo it. And so whether it's been teachers, whether it's been parents, but we carry a lot of that, many of us. It's very interesting how many books there are on parenting now. But probably parenting is worse today than it's ever been. And maybe in the days when I was a child, I know that my parents didn't read any books about it. And yes, they weren't perfect. But the basic things that they did were okay. And yes, I can identify things they could have done better. But that's now. I couldn't have said anything at that time. But it's okay. But today, so many books on parenting, and yet people really don't know how to deal with children. Okay, that's a whole subject on itself. But in terms of me and where I'm at, generally, for most of us, self-esteem isn't really, really deeply established. And so I need to practice not just soul consciousness, but emerging these original qualities that the soul carries within itself, so that my value and the esteem that I have for myself is truly based on these inner treasures, these inner qualities. And I'm not waiting for anyone to support me or anyone to tell me how good I am or otherwise. And if they're telling me otherwise, I'll be able to listen and keep smiling instead of reacting. And yes, I'm making a note of it and I'm checking it again to see what's happening. But let me come to that stage where I'm stable in my own inner dignity. I'm so aware that this first lesson was really the only lesson that the Dadis really knew about. They were souls and they were children of God. These two lessons were the things that they knew about in detail. They knew that there's a cycle, they knew that there's many births, and they knew that God's here and is with us. So they knew that much. Other things gradually got exposed, explained. The concept of God took a long time to become clear. I would say it was actually only by 1959, 1960, that the concept of God really, just as a point of light, became clear. And even in the Murlis that we hear sometimes of 1965, Baba's still saying how some children find it so difficult to think about just this point of light. And for us, it was easy when we came and we understood. But as a child, I used to hear, God is thumb-shaped. And now in 1957, 58, around that time. So the Dadis, what do they know about God being in, even the word Shiva came later. They didn't know the word Shiv Baba. They knew Baba and they were seeing Brahma Baba. But what is it that gave them such great strength? The power to be able to withstand public opinion and everything that was going on. The power to be able to renounce everything in a go. One go, that's it. It was these two things. I'm a soul, I'm a child of God. And so if today I still go back to those two basic things, the awareness that's different to this identity and the awareness of my new birth, being a child of God isn't just another bit of soul consciousness. It's very much the awareness of my new birth, a new beginning. And being in that awareness of who my parent is and who I am, that's the foundation for being really, really stable and strong. And so coming back to that stage of who I truly am, I'm interested in this journey of Om Mandli, and also the statement that it's a journey in which I have to learn to be able to teach myself. If I'm reacting externally, that's visible. But if I've dealt with those visible reactions, and now I'm at a stage where there's inner reactions, it's not something that others are going to be teaching me about anymore. It's going to be me teaching myself, self-learning. And yes, we have these gatherings and we can share experiences, but when the rubber hits the road, when I'm on my own and I'm dealing with something, I don't have the gathering. I don't have a senior. We definitely don't have the dadis with us in the way that we used to, even last year. Things have changed, which is as is natural. But hopefully we've taken on more and more responsibility for ourselves. And in doing that, then yes, let me see what I need to do to change. And so certainly this first thing is to really deeply spend time just developing my own inner qualities so that I can love myself. Accepting myself, loving myself, and having value for myself. And that's going to be the foundation for change in all the other things. And I think that once I've been able to really lay that foundation, then even the inner reactions that come about, I'll be able to notice these. One moment you're fine, next moment, what is it that's shaken you? And you're not so fine. I'm doing well, I feel I'm with Baba, I feel I'm peaceful, I'm loving, I'm close to the truth. I think that when you're kalmatit, then you reach your stage of total truth, but until then, come closer and closer to that. So what is it that suddenly happens that makes me lose my peace? Again, to be able to see that and find the moment that made you shift from the stage where you were. And the more I do this, the easier it becomes to be able to turn it around and actually catch yourself before you lose it. There's an expression that Daddy used to say, and that was, think before you think. My thoughts move in a particular pattern, and once they've started moving, the train is already off, and it'll bring many, many other thoughts of the same kind. But now that I know myself, and I've been seeing what is it that changes me, even in terms of the inner reaction, then before those thoughts occur, caution. Checking is afterwards, and what Baba is saying also is attention. Attention is before something happens. Otherwise, the checking is, and it's already happened. And then, of course, the change. But take it the next step that Baba's talking about, not that you have tension about attention, but that you're having attention on the quality of your thinking, and that's going to also determine the quality of your feelings. Daddy often used to talk about chit, and she spoke to Baba about it and said, "Baba, why don't you talk about the chit?" And Baba said to her, "Child, you're at that stage where you're checking this, but not everybody else is, and they might get confused." And so Baba spoke of many different things, but not so much the chit. But yes, now in Avyaktamalis, Baba is making us very aware of the memories that we carry and what is it that's coming up. And so the checking is actually, the attention is actually on what are the memories that I'm holding onto that allow these thoughts to come, instead of being able to stay on the level that I want to. This memory comes in, that he spoke about how between the mind and the intellect, you're taking care of your mind, good thoughts, you're taking care of your buddhi, not keeping rubbish there, making sure that you're holding on to the beliefs, the truths that Baba has told you about instead of other stuff. And then a chit comes in, and the chit sneaks in and shakes both of these things. And so I think that this is where, in another language, I would say the memories that I have accumulated and stored within myself, that comes in, and I'm no longer the master of my mind, I'm no longer the master of the buddhi, and the buddhi is no more the master, and so trouble. Memories. So which are the memories? And now I'm thinking that it's not even so much the old memories, more in our inner reactions to whatever it is that's happening. It's recent memories. The things that I've interacted with in terms of people, those memories that I'm holding on to, just think about it, just reflect for a moment. Am I able to have good wishes for everyone? Am I able to hold on to the power of good wishes for the circle of people that I'm surrounded with? And the reality is that it's the same everywhere. There is no place which is perfect. Do you agree? Who thinks that there's a perfect place where they can be, where there's no stimulation of old sanskaras or old feelings? Sure? It's a fact. There is no other place. The place where I am is the place where I'm meant to be, and the people that I'm with are the people who are going to be teaching me. They are my teachers. And there truly isn't a place which is perfect. Nowhere. Believe me. And so the people that I'm connected with at this moment, am I able genuinely to clean out my heart and my feelings and just simply have nothing but pure good wishes for them and see them in the way that Baba sees them? I know that this is what Daddy does, and I've known it for a very long time. Very early days, and she'd come to London, and there was somebody who was really behaving in a way that wasn't appropriate. And I complained to Daddy that this person doesn't listen. And she ignored me. Second time, I said to her, Daddy, did you see this happen? Same thing. And she still ignored me. And then I went to her saying, you're not going to believe me, are you? And she said, it's not a question of belief or not belief. I am seeing that soul with the vision that Baba had for that soul. And in 1974, it was still only 5 years after Sakar Baba. So most of the people who were around, a lot of them, were people who had had sustenance from Baba at that time. And so she said that, I'm seeing them as Baba used to see them. And so it wasn't an imagination thing, how would Baba see them, but she knew very clearly how Baba had seen them in Sakar. And then she explained to me the things that I didn't know about this person. And I thought, okay, very important lesson, see them as Baba used to see them. And it changed the quality of my interaction with them. But afterwards, just a few years ago, now when she comes to London, it's just pure love and sharing of joy. That is really gone beyond correction in any way. Right, Manda? But a few years ago, when she was still really seeing detail, but yet she would not agree that somebody was doing anything wrong. I said, but Daddy, you can see it. She said, you're not going to change my vision of them. If I change my vision of them, how are they going to be able to manage? Her answer was very different now than in the 70s, but this was her point. If I change my vision of them, they won't be able to manage. They'll lose hope for themselves. And so, having hope for another, having good wishes for another, is very important. But this is the way in which I have to sort out my memory of my last interaction with them and keep having good wishes. I'm teaching myself, but this is the method that Baba's teaching us. Because if I do that, my own state of peace, my own state of love and truth can remain stable. I see what they're doing and it's not right, but then my mind becomes negative. Who's the one who loses out? It's me. I lose my peace. I lose my closeness to truth and God. And so I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be able to maintain those qualities which are my original natural qualities. Somebody wrote an email and I read it today. It must have come a couple of days ago, but I haven't been even reading, let alone replying. And in that she's made a very nice statement. She said, if I want to develop the qualities of Satyug, I realize that the first thing I have to stop doing is fighting. I see that something is wrong and I want to fight. I want justice, I want truth, I want things to be right. But I can't make them become right. And meanwhile, what I've done is developed my own sanskara of fighting further. It's not an external fight, but internally. And I've realized I've got to stop fighting. And so just in that one word, fighting, am I still fighting? Who am I fighting? What am I fighting? But every time I keep carrying on fighting, I'm losing my own inner treasures. And so that's not going to make me reach my own higher stage. And so what I need to do is to stop fighting. And something that we tell other people, you know, all of these things we tell people a lot. And whenever people have, and especially in the Call of Time dialogues, there used to be a lot of interaction with Daddy. And so there was a person who'd come from Namibia and for Africa, Southern Africa, and the conditions there. And he had two problems that he was dealing with. One was a physical health issue, a very big physical health issue. And the other one was racism, color. And he said to Daddy, when Daddy was talking about maintaining peace and calm and so on, he said to Daddy, "Daddy, I have to fight to be able to get my rights. I have to fight for other people so that they can have their rights." And Daddy's question was, the question to him, can fighting remove injustice? Injustice is wrong, but fighting is also wrong. Can fighting remove injustice? Two wrongs. And so you can't change things and put them right by fighting. And so the other way, the power of peace. And he was a Call of Time guest, so he didn't know about Satyug coming. But we know that we have to prepare for Satyug. But when Daddy explained to him that two wrongs don't make a right, and it's not by fighting that justice is going to happen, maybe it was the power of Daddy's presence. Maybe it was the conviction that Daddy spoke. Probably it was the truth that she believed and was demonstrating in her life that made him stop arguing and become calm and quiet. And he did. When he came in, it was just 4 days we were together, but he came in one way and left in a very different way. And so memories, the things that have happened to me, the people who've said and done whatever it is they have, yesterday, last year, and it keeps happening again and again and again, well, they're not working on themselves to bring about change. Or if they are, good luck to them, and they'll get there at the right time. But my concern is myself. I don't want to move away from my own state of peace or love or truth. And of course then purity and joy also. And so the more I can find ways to stay focused internally and do the cleaning that I need to do, the clearing that needs to happen, I'll find my behavior becoming sweeter, my own life being filled with greater joy, and surely that's what I want. I want to experience God's love more and more. I want to be able to have a life filled with happiness, and this is the way. But the cleaning is the work that I need to do, and in particular cleaning the memories, so that my mind doesn't get shaken, my intellect is able to maintain stability. And the more I can do this, the easier it will become, and it will become truly natural. And at the point where these original qualities are truly my natural state of being, and are maintaining that all the time, there'll be an impact on the atmosphere and on people around me, and generally speaking on the world also, so that we'll see the kingdom being created. It's not a question of visions of crowns and jewels, but to be able to see how Satyug is going to operate, to be able to see the workings of Satyug, being able to understand each other just with a signal, being able to cooperate together in a very natural way, and things will become very simple and easy instead of being complex and complicated. And so to keep my mind peaceful and clear, and then you know what's going on in my mind, because it'll be visible, it'll be transparent. When things are complicated and complex in my mind and my intellect, even I don't know what's going on. So how are you going to know? But the process of cleaning and clearing, and things will be very visible, very transparent, and life will be as I would like it to be. Sometimes Baba says, as in the beginning, so at the end. I think that it was for them, the Dadis at that time in Omandli, a chance just to experience love and joy. Yes, there were little things that came in the way, sanskars. Whatever was going on outside didn't bother them at all. They weren't afraid of what was going on outside, even though there was a war going on. They weren't scared of that. They weren't concerned about whether there'd be another meal or not. It was a different dimension of consciousness that they were in. None of those things bothered them. Little things about sanskars would come up and Mama would deal with it and help them, and it would get cleared very quickly. But it was a time of great love, of great joy, intoxication. And so when they came out from that bhatti, instant service, the airs were taking birth here and there and everywhere. Wherever they stepped foot, there'd be powerful souls emerging who are still around today and sustain us today. So at the end, the same. That stage of love and happiness and that purity in which everything moves easily and smoothly, and all of us truly, truly part of God's kingdom and experiencing that in a very real way. So I think that these are very practical things that we can be doing, and it's a very simple checking point for me, these five qualities. And then the more I do this, I can see how the grossness of the vices moves away, and even then, hopefully, all the subtle aspects of the vices and negativity will go if I focus on developing all of this. And so then stepping into perfection will be very natural. But the work I need to do today, and the invocation, it'll happen, but let me do what I need to do now. The more I develop these qualities within myself, emerge them and express them, not that I say, well, I'm feeling very peaceful, doesn't matter what's going on around me, for the power of my peace should be make me more effective in whatever it is I do. So not incognito, hidden, but it becomes visible and manifest. But the more I do this, the easier it will be to develop whatever are the skills that I need in terms of Baba's work. Things that I couldn't deal with earlier, these qualities will allow me to deal with things, with those skills. So when we came to Baba, many of us were very young. What skills did we have? We didn't. And Baba has gradually taught us many things, but whatever more we have to learn in terms of skills, it will happen very easily. just with developing these original states of being, so that truly, truly the world can see that this is what God has been teaching us, and not just teaching us, but this is what God has been filling in us. And so seeing the creation, they have a glimpse of the Creator. Okay, just a few minutes left before we start the meditation. Any questions? Comments? Can we have a microphone? So until the mic arrives, and if you don't have questions, that's fine. And the mic will be here at the front, rather than trying to get it to you. You come to the mic. No? Okay. Tell us your name and where you're from.
Sister Lavanya, I'm a Sevadhari in Pandu Bhavan actually, but I just came for this class. I have a question about the word that struck when you were talking, Sister, was having genuine good wishes. And to have that stage of genuine good wishes, what I think obstructs is the feelings of hurt which are caused by the other person. And there is this thing about think before you think. But when we get hurt, we don't think that I have to get hurt now. It just happens automatically. So to have genuine good wishes, how do we surpass those feelings of hurt? Because that is when I can have a genuine good wish for somebody.
Correct. Good question. And the step between having good wishes and that feeling is surely forgiveness. At that moment, I'm vulnerable for whatever reason, and so if I've made myself strong and I maintain that strength in which the diamond isn't hurt, only a diamond can scratch a diamond, and so I'm not fragile. So I have to first make sure that I am strong, and then I'll be less and less hurt by whatever is going on. But okay, if I am carrying hurt, then the step of coming to the other stage is forgiveness, being able to let go. And there's one expression that I always think of when I think about forgiveness, and that is, forgiveness is freedom. I want to be free, and if I hold on to a hurt, then I'm keeping myself in bondage and being subservient to that individual. And so, okay, I can't think of why it should have happened. I didn't say anything to them, I didn't do anything bad to them, but they're doing this to me. But can I find it in my heart and remember how often I have been forgiven by Baba and by seniors? And so am I able to let go and keep myself free so that I finish that? And then the next step will be, yeah, good wishes. So forgiveness is something that, it's good that it's been mentioned, because many of the memories that hold us back are connected with the sorrow we've taken. I'm glad to see that Sevadharis have time to be here for classes. It's good, very good. That's the bonus of coming to Madhuban to serve. Oh, interesting. We can still hear each other. Oh, I see each other. One last question.
My name is Anne from Holland. I love the expression, the power of good wishes. And I more realize how powerful it can be. But I think that all those powers has to be sustained by good wishes for yourself. If it's not possible to have good wishes for yourself, then it's not possible to have good wishes for others. I know that I have good wishes for myself when 99.5%, but there's always this small resistance. How do I go beyond that part?
Accepting yourself, acceptance. I've made mistakes, and I think everyone except the eight jewels made mistakes. That's why it's been the number 9, the number 10, all the way through further. And so we've all made mistakes. And acknowledging that, yes, I did make a mistake or made many mistakes, but Baba is still with me, Baba is still loving me, accepting me, and so I have to do the same for myself. At one point, I think it was in an Avyakt Murali, or maybe it was Dadi, I can't remember anymore, but it was this comment that Baba finds it very easy to forgive me, but I find it difficult to forgive myself. But I have to take the lesson from Baba. If Baba's forgiven me, I have to learn to forgive myself. And how do I know Baba's forgiven me? Because Baba's continuing to help me and continuing to keep doors open for me. If Baba had not forgiven me, I wouldn't be here today. And so Baba's forgiven me and wants me to move forward. I have to learn to do that for myself. Okay, so let's fly to Baba and emerge our own higher stage, and let Baba's light and love carry us there. Om Shanti.